Yeah, my uncle works at Nintendo. He actually knows the people who are they're working on the new Mario game right now, and he's gonna have a gun in the new game. You know? So it's like, whoa, really? Yeah, he's just tired. He's just tired of Bowser's crap.
Warning, the following podcast is intended for immature dads only. Listener discretion is advised. This is Dad's Game Review, the most casual hardcore gamers around. Reviews and news from every platform. We waste our time so you don't have to.
How's it going, kids? This is Dad's Game Review. I am Paul Squillaci, and I am joined by the ever beautiful teeth, John Everson. How you doing, John?
Yeah, good. Fresh out of the dentist. The Novocaine's wearing off, Paul. So I gotta watch. If I start like just screaming expletives in the middle of the review, it's like, oh, I guess the painkillers are dying.
Yeah, like my co-host seems to have fallen over.
Yeah.
He's writhing on the floor in pain.
Man. They did that thing where they I had to have some crowns installed, and before the show, Paul, I was asking me, like, when do you use a crown? And a crown is kind of like, it's kind of like a filling, but with like a little bit more. It's like when you get the $60 version of the game that has like the soundtrack and the figurine.
Right.
That's the crown.
Yeah.
The filling is the base game at $49.99.
Yeah, I see. Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was like the at one point they didn't put the Novocaine in, and I could just feel like all of the coldness where they were doing like a little spray.
Right.
And I'm like, I think it's a little sensitive. Is that expected? Oh, it's because I didn't put the juice in that makes you not feel pain, because I thought you were a freaking man. Didn't need it. Looks like it was wrong. And I'm like, I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to make sure.
I was just checking. Not to be graphic, but when I had my vasectomy, the same thing happened.
Oh, really? Is it a little sensitive to cold down there?
He sprayed it with the cold spray that they use in like baseball when you get hit by a pitch, so that the swelling goes down. But for a vasectomy, they cut the Vans deferens, as it's called, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite band from the 80s.
German punk band.
Yes, Vans Deferens, the best.
I am Dieter. We are yes. Vans Deferens.
My name is Michael Van Deferens, and we're going to rock your world.
But what they do is they cauterize after they cut it so that there's no possible way of anything getting through.
Yeah.
But they fail to mention is that you feel it all the way through. And I was like, jumping, and I was like, and he's like, oh, he's like, you feel something? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, it's weird, you're not supposed to feel anything. Anyway,
for a second they're like, oh, are you like Neo? Are you the one? You know, he's able to see all the urology moves before we do them.
Right, yeah.
I had a friend of a friend who got a vasectomy.
Okay.
And he ended up having like two kids afterwards.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And he's also like very religious. And so like in the narrative of that family, they're like, it's a miracle.
Yeah,
I guess
God
it was
just
meant
wanted
to be.
It to happen.
Yes, I guess it was so God's plan in that situation was, all right, we're gonna have the surgeon sleep through the class. And
he's gonna miss the part where you cut the Van Deferen.
Yeah. Oh, reinforce it. Put a steel casing around it so nothing can damage it forever. You
right.
Got it.
I mean, that's got to be a weird job. Like, what do you want to do? You know?
Yeah.
I'm a urologist, you know, surgeon. Yeah. And all I do is cut penises. Yeah.
It's going to take a special type of person, you know what I mean, who's just like, I guess, doesn't really have a sense of humor, isn't amused by the general concept of that region, you know, really, really buttoned up.
This doctor, however, was quite the opposite. First of all,
yeah?
His name was Dr. Wiener.
Oh, gosh.
Who was fully aware that was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was sitting in his office, he came in and he says, comes in the door like Kramer. And he's like, hey, so you want to get your dick chopped off, huh?
Yeah, great.
He puts down my file. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're pretty young. Why do you want to do that? You know? He was so matter-of-fact and so open. I was just like, I was like, because I had four kids and I don't want any more, sir. Mm-hmm. But
that's always a good answer. It's
almost
like
your most inappropriate uncle.
Yes.
What would remind us today, this week, of uncles?
I don't know. Perhaps maybe the game that we played this week, Paul. That was a really good segue. I'm like, dang! Look at him.
He's actually getting good. I'm gonna have to step up.
Oh yeah,
my game.
No, it's like after 78,000 episodes,
one actually slips through.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, that's why you got to cut the Van Deference, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We played the uncle who works for Nintendo. The Uncle Who Works for Nintendo is a horror theme based text adventure game developed by Michael Lutz and released via browser on October 15, 2014. The game title is inspired by a false playground claim stereotypically used by children to spread video game related rumors and urban legends. Now, I have never heard any of that. Urban legends or anything. I don't know.
Seriously?
I don't know what that means. Like, I didn't hear The Uncle Who Works for Nintendo until you brought it up as a game.
So, I heard it all the time. Maybe it's a slight generational shift. Just maybe you were maybe not on the cutting edge of this. Mm-hmm. But I remember, like, literally in the schoolyard at R.W. Carbonero School Elementary, there was one kid. I'm not going to blow him up on the show because I haven't talked to him in 30 years. I don't know what his deal is. But he was like, yeah, my uncle works at Nintendo. He actually knows the people who are they're working on the new Mario game right now. And he's going to have a gun in the new game. You know? So it's like, whoa, really? Yeah, yeah. He's just tired. He's just tired of Bowser's crap. And like you would hear all these things and there was no internet. So there was no way cross-examine him. And it's like, but how do you know? And it's like, he told me. He told me he was over. And he's like, oh, can I meet him? No, he's usually in Japan. So,
yeah.
It's
funny because now that you mention it, I did in school have a woman, a girl, like maybe I'd say 10th grade, who I knew through, you know, the BOCES program. You remember BOCES?
We have talked about BOCES in a previous episode of Dad's BOCES review.
Yeah, Dad's BOCES. This is like a trade school type of a program where half the day of school is filled with trade school related things. Basically, your parents tell you you could be anything you want to be. And then by the time 10th grade rolls around, we go, all right, we narrowed it down to these five things.
Yes.
And so I went to BOCES for commercial printing, which is back before paper was evil. Mm-hmm. And we would put, you know, we'd have to print actual things. And it was a booming business, John. It was so booming. I don't know.
So there was a 10th grader that was at BOCES.
So there was a 10th grader that was at BOCES. Mm-hmm. And this girl, and she was like, I have Super Mario 49. Or something to that effect. It was like this absurd number. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, my dad got it for me. And she apparently he has connections to a guy who works at Nintendo. It wasn't necessarily an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's so crazy. I could only imagine her playing Super Mario 2 or something.
Yeah.
And that's what she got a bootleg copy of.
You're talking about like the lost levels that were
the stupid one.
Freaking like the purple mushroom was like, oh, you eat this one, you die.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot what she called it though, but it was like something absurd, like Super Mario 16. I was like, what? Gosh. You know,
this type of character it probably still exists. But like, I remember like all the time there'd be always that kid who's like, oh, I have that cool toy too, but it's broken. Like that was always, remember that one? It's like, I've got that too, but it's broken.
It's like listening to two coworkers. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but when you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. Like, but I can't describe it, but like two, I want to say know-it-alls, but like mm-hmm. humble brag know-it-alls. Like,
yeah.
Like I just spent $16,000 on all Mac products because I had to switch to Mac and, because it didn't do this one thing. And then the other person would be like, oh, well, yeah, I use the Samsung and I use a PC, but you just program it to do that. Mm-hmm. And da, 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 da. And I just have to walk away. I just have to walk away.
It is a measuring contest of one way or another.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. You know, I'd like to think as a social worker, I'd like to think I'm a people person, but mm-hmm. sometimes when people are just talking back and forth and they're just trying to outdo one each other, like that SNL skit woman who's like,
yes,
you know,
yes.
And Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. You know, people are nice and not all of them represent that. I'm just saying.
It is a character trait that I feel like I've grown out of, but it's a type of guy who generally, I'm going to be throwing some stereotypes around here, generally doesn't have children, may right. not be married.
Okay.
And is still like obsessed with like, well, actually I own all of the Christopher Nolan movies. You know? Oh, you saw Memento? Did you see the movie Following? That was the one he made before it. It's actually really good. It's black and white. It really kind of makes you think about things. Oh, and he's like, you know, Christopher Nolan's a cinematic genius.
Right.
And this is not a knock on Christopher Nolan, but you guys know who you are.
Stop it. That's all we have to say.
Some of you are listening to this pod right now, and you've got your arms crossed. He's like, he's not talking about me. I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
I am. I'm talking about you.
Actually, Rushmore was the beginning of the trilogy that Wes Anderson was going to apply the theme throughout the rest of his movies. You can obviously see it in the Grand Budapest Hotel, and then you could see it later in Life Aquatic. You know, like those... Like, I just, you just sit
it's
there.
It's a shame
like,
everyone's pushing back on Bill Murray, because Bill Murray has clearly been, very much since the mid-90s, Wes Anderson's muse. It's like, okay.
Like, yeah, I just like Wes Anderson movies.
They're good. Obviously. They're very good. They're legitimately good.
Yeah, that's a valid argument. That's all you have to say. Anyway, so the trope, my uncle who works at Nintendo, ultimately became a text-based horror-themed game adventure, which will take you all about maybe 15 minutes to play.
There's multiple endings in it, but it does really capture like a nice little slice of life, Paul. And I know, Paul, I just interrupted you. And kids, we don't do this to grown-ups, so I'm going to keep on going and not let Paul speak. No, go ahead, Paul. What are you going to say?
No, it's just... What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, it doesn't take long to kind of get down the pattern, even for this old brain-damaged mind to get. But you kind of get the idea of, okay, I selected it this time. Let's try this way. Yeah, all right, let's see this way, this way. I will admit it does build up the suspense quite nicely.
About, it does.
You know, it gives off a very Twilight Zone theme-ish thing, like mm-hmm. where... the mom, or the Stepford mom, as I'd like to call her, is just like, here's your sandwich. Don't forget, your uncle is coming. You know?
Yeah.
There's no audio, but that's how I think she sounds.
There's a little bit of audio, like you hear like the grandfather clock ticking and things like that.
Which, by the way, scared the crap out of me, because mm-hmm. you go along not thinking there's any sound, and then all of a sudden, this huge dong goes, and you're like, oh, okay, so there is sound.
Yeah. Yeah, it also has a bit of like a Stranger Things vibe to me, where it's like you were just kids in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, just having a good time, but something's not right. And this one really is a bit of a nostalgia hole. And if you are of a certain age like Paul and myself, a lot of these tropes in the game are going to feel really familiar. You're at your friend's house, you're at a sleepover, friends playing video games, and then
your mom comes in with a sandwich and name drops.
Yeah, the uncle. There's lots of things as you start playing the game, And I don't want to spoil it because it's a 15-minute game, and kids, you should just play it yourself. It's really good, yeah, in my opinion. It is, things start to kind of go off the rails, and things start to take a weird turn, and things get a little odd.
Right.
And then when the uncle arrives, that's a whole other...
Yeah, it's a whole other adventure.
Yeah.
Now you just don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. When the game, like, because the game does this thing where it glitches, and like it throws all those error messages up and stuff. And
yeah.
There's one point where it looks like it's like a real error message, and it really kind of messed with me. It's funny. There's a Roblox game that does this well. We didn't review this game this week,
right?
But my daughter was like, "Yeah, play this Roblox game." And it's also where it's very text driven, and it's called like the survey. And it's like, do you believe, you know, that you know who you really are? And it's like, look behind you, and it's right. Like look back, and there's like a face, and it's like, bah!
Right.
And my daughter's like, keep playing it. I'm like, did you play this? No, I got too scared. You're playing it.
Yeah. Just let me know what happens.
Yeah.
So it's
a game that definitely is a little bit of a mind blanker, as we say in this house, because we try not to drop too many bombs.
Yeah. Good dad. What a great dad.
It's a good. I mean, whatever. They know the word. They know the word.
Yeah, like we did when growing up. We knew not to say it in the house. We just waited till we got in the streets.
Yeah. No. I my daughter now knows all of the words, and she's like, "What does this one mean?" I'm like, "Whoa! You don't call that to a girl. That's not respectful at all."
We sometimes say "see you next Tuesday," but you know we don't actually say it.
See you next Tuesday. Now I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm there.
I was surprised though when I was looking for this game via Google, because it's not something that you just really plug down. It's not like something you bookmark. It's hosted in various different ways in different sites. But I was surprised when I was looking for it. Around this time, there was a lot of different games like this. There was a game called Depression Quest.
Oh, nice.
An interactive nonfiction game about living with depression.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, there was always, like, back in the late 90s, there was Stick Death. Do you remember that?
Stick Death.
You can't find it now, but back in the day, there was this program called Flash, and it's no longer around. In fact, computers don't even load it anymore. So people could find out that they could make games with Flash. And it was very, you know, at the time it was pretty innovative. But it wore out its welcome, the Flash program and the add-on. And it was made by Adobe. And then one day... One day, Steve Jobs got on the stage and said, "Flash is shit, and you shouldn't be using it." And Adobe the next day was like, "Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't be using it."
Yeah, that would be January 27, 2010, with the announcement of the iPad. That was when it was over. That was when the shot was fired. The shot heard around the world.
Like, what other company just comes on stage and is like, aside from Donald Trump, we're going to put him, because everything he says is just like that, is like, fake news. You know, what other company have you known in recent history to come on stage and just be like, yeah, McDonald's McRib, shit. Just don't eat it anymore. And then the next day the company go, yeah, you know, you're right.
And it's good. It's, I mean, when we get to the news later, I feel like there is a similar situation going on in our current day and age. But yeah, that iPad announcement and the decline of Flash. I mean, it's bad for like a game archival standpoint, because since Flash is kind of a dead platform and also it's like littered with all these different exploits and viruses.
Yeah.
It's it kind of sucks if you were like a Flash game developer. Really sucks to be one of them.
Oh yeah. I mean, there was plenty of Flash games that were like, I remember playing a Flash game where there was you had to play the mediator between two neighbors, and there was a fence, and there was like this overgrown tree to some effect onto the neighbor's property, and it was dropping its rotten fruit on his side, and the guy took poison and put it in the ground on his side of the fence, and it killed the tree, and you had to be the mediator. This was a Flash game. There's not really much animation. It was mainly text-based, but it was quite creative, you know, because you had to select certain things to say, you know, like, I don't believe it's right that he went ahead and poured bleach, you know?
That's funny.
But what was the other one? Stick Death was famous. I don't know if you ever remember that.
I remember, like, all the fighting with the stick men.
And yeah, then I but guess you couldn't. Some... Yeah, I was looking it up before the show. You can't really play it anymore because Flash is dead. Not even the Wayback Machine, in case anybody doesn't know about this. The United States government has something called the Wayback Machine. And it's internet. It's recorded everything on the internet since 1994. And it keeps it archived. So you could always, you could go back to see what Google looked like day one. You could go back and see a website you made in high school, you know, if you still have the domain.
Yeah.
I tried to look up Stick Death, but being that there's no more Flash, it just came up with a bunch of question marks and boxes, you know.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because I wish, I'm sure you could watch it on YouTube or something like that.
I'm sure. I'm sure. But that's what actually kind of makes this game kind of nice, because even though it's from, you know, a few years back, it's text adventureness. And the fact that it's an HTML5 means that, you can still play it on your desktop.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And that was the interesting part to me, was that it was easy to access. So many people were hosting it, and you could just keep playing it over and over and over. You know, like, not that there's a game that you can't, but you know what I mean. You play games that, like, you know, you die, and it doesn't have that thing we talked about last episode with okay, one more time syndrome. Yeah. You know, like this does have it, but there are games that do that where you're like, I really don't want to go through that again. I'm not really.
Well, they do this thing in the game which I like, which is like, hey, you can just start again, but like at the midpoint of the story.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
Which I'm very grateful for, because if it didn't have that, that would be in the uglies today, and it's not, because they gave me a little bit of like a little bit of a break.
Right. No, I mean, well, Blasphemous did that, you know, classically. Oh. Like, well, you got to start back this save point that we forced you to save, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't allow you to whatever. You could listen to Blasphemous episode. I'm not even going to go into it. It's at this point the Red Bull starts wearing off.
I can see the light leaving your eyes.
Yeah.
But no, there's this internal struggle with me, Paul, because I want to talk about Blasphemous right now. Because I beat it this past weekend.
Oh, did you? You did?
Yeah. I know we're doing a Uncle Works at Nintendo review, but I beat the first Blasphemous and I got the good ending.
Wow. What's the good ending?
Basically, everybody's like really chill about you, and they think you're awesome because like that you become kind of like a. You become kind of like this, you basically are like a statue. You're like frozen in time, but everyone reveres you as this like religious figure.
So you're memorialized. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, I figured out like if you get a power up in the game, you drink a potion, and then you start being able to like shoot like lasers essentially out of your sword.
Right.
And once you have that ability, the final boss of the game is a absolute cinch. I was like, It was just like watching me chunk his health, and it's like after all this crap, I just like curb stomped the final boss.
Right.
But I also beat they had two new bosses in the game that were introduced later, and I beat them, and I was very proud of myself. And yeah, you know, little John did good. He did good. He finally beat it.
I rarely finish games, so I. So it's just amazing to me when people say, "Yeah, I finished it."
Well, yeah. I was in an airplane this weekend.
Oh yeah,
so,
that's true.
That's where I did it. Where I was in a metal box and I couldn't go anywhere.
The germ tube, as we like to call it in my family.
Indeed, indeed. You know, now my uncle doesn't work at Nintendo, but my uncle does work at AT&T,
used to.
And he had the I asked my dad, can he get a hold of the video phone? You remember the video phone, Paul?
Oh wow, yeah.
Back in the 90s, like now you can talk to people with your phone on camera, and And my dad's like, yeah, he doesn't work in that department. He can't get you any of that. It's totally like crushed my dreams.
Oh my goodness. That's funny because somebody was just at work asked me about the window in New York City. I forgot what they said. Oh, they said, do you know about this building in New York City? And it's the AT&T building, but okay. It's known famously as the something. I forgot what he called it, but I knew instantly what they were talking about. And I said, oh yeah, that's the AT&T building. It just has doors and no windows, but it's like 47 stories high.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But it's the AT&T building, and it was just probably just a hub for nothing. It wasn't made for people.
33 Thomas Street. It's the AT&T Long Lines building, and there is no windows in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just known famously because they were like, I was just reading all these conspiracy theories about it and how, like, the government works there and da-da-da-da-da. And they just, like, had all these theories. And I was just like, it's just when phone companies were a thing. It was just where the lines ran through for the entire city. And they're like, oh, well, that can't be that big for that. And I'm like, I don't think you understand how big New York City is. I was like...
Yeah. There was one of those buildings in Valley Stream, our hometown. Do you remember that, Paul?
Was there?
There was a windowless building near like Green Acres Mall. And my sister always had like conspiracy theories about that one.
Oh.
And it was a smaller one though.
Huh.
It was like two or three stories, but yeah, no windows. It was weird.
I remember that. I'll have to
It's gone now.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's gone.
It's like a Carolina barbecue restaurant now. Something like that. It's just completely gone.
A Longhorn steak or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a Longhorn steakhouse. Do you like getting shot or where the ghosts of the Murderplex victims were?
Right.
And you eating a sizzling 12-ounce sirloin steak.
We're going to overfeed you this dead animal, and if you finish it, you get a t-shirt at the end.
Oh, nice. Sorry, we're all out of extra large for some reason.
The triple X's didn't come in this week.
Yeah. Well, here's a shirt for your kid.
Here's the shirt for your tiny wife, which is oddly makes me jealous.
Yes. I'm feeling things I haven't felt for in a long time.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, no, I don't think that there's really a good, bad, and ugly for this. Do you have anything? Because I don't have anything that would be... It feels like it would be a miss if I did like a good, bad, and ugly for this game.
I think this game, we can probably skip the old GBU on this one. Mm. I will say, highly recommend it. Don't want to spoil it for you, but it is an experience. If you are of a certain age, it's going to make you feel things. It's going to make you feel nostalgic. And it's also going to just kind of like make you think about stuff. It's quite psychological. It is indeed a horror game. There is a bit at the end where they give you some like links about some of their inspirations that make the game and everything. And it's a fun piece of fiction and not a traditional game. I mean, technically it's still a game, but it's nothing really that is so bad that we need to call it out. And also it's free. So
yeah, that's the good
that
thing.
Has a nice evening
free
factor.
Is always
to
good.
It.
You know, there's no real rhyme or reason to why things are free, but certain games that people who do things just for fun, I always had envy for those people who do things in their spare time. Like, I'm not talking about the craft beer douches on your block. I'm talking about...
I'm talking about good people.
Me and my friends. Yeah, we make craft beer in my basement.
Yeah. I love all the craft beer jokes where it's just like, you know, like a cat just pisses in the hallway and is like, man, this IPA is off the hook. It's really good.
I never, no, I never heard that one.
There's a lot of that.
I had a neighbor who did the same thing that I did back in my web programming days. And, I remember he was so into programming. Like, he would do it all day, and then he would come home at night, and that was his hobby. and he would love showing me things that he did program-wise. Like, he went, you know, like, if he saw me, he was like, oh, he's like, Paul, I'm working on this project. He's like, I'm going to gonna create a program in JavaScript. It's going to fire fireworks for the 4th of July. And I'd be like, oh, cool, all right. You know, he's like, yeah, and I'm going to put it in an app. This way, you know, we could just fire off the fireworks. And I was like, oh, okay. Or we could just use a lighter. But, you know, hey, you do you.
Yeah, it's still cool to say, like, all right, click here for Roman Candle.
He did. It was, but, you know, developers, they don't make things pretty. They make them functional first, pretty later. And yeah. That's how things are always, at least that's what I was taught. You know, you just make it functional first.
Yeah.
And then later you clean up. That's why when you get updates to games and stuff online, it'll say we cleaned up the code. You know? But
great.
Inevitably his firework launcher just kept shooting up errors.
Oh no.
Yeah, so he didn't do a lot of R&D. I mean, it was a cool idea, but that's just one example of projects that he used to work on. But I hated it. I hated programming so much that I never wanted to do it when I got home. I think that's what made me so jealous.
Yeah. It would be hard for me to do the same thing I do at work outside of my job.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
So, we could talk about some news if you want.
Yeah, let's do some news.
All right.
And now it's time for gaming news.
This news segment, John, is brought to you by Loopy Cases. Do you know about the Loopy?
I do know about the Loopy. First of all, I love saying Loopy because I like to be like Loopy, Whoopy, Doopy, Loopy, Doopy. That's just something I do. You don't have to do that.
No, I mean, you know, so these three brothers I followed on Kickstarter back in 2017, I want to say.
The Brothers Karamazov, yes.
Yes, with the campaign of Stop the Drop. And It was comically with a picture of one of the brothers on bed with the iPhone planted on his face and his hand up in the air, like, because He was looking at something on his iPhone and he dropped it on his face. And I went on to read this Kickstarter, and I backed it. And I was like, wow, this sounds pretty cool. And they sent me one. And ever since then, I mean, I know that they sent us a couple to work on. But they, the cool thing was that I've been a fan forever with them. I mean, I love it. It proves functional. And especially when you're carrying a lot of things, you could just use one finger to pick it up.
So do we understand, like, the loopy part of what makes a loopy, Paul?
I don't know. Go ahead. Why don't you
describe it? I have my loopy right here, Paul. I went with Stealth Black because, you know, I'm a stealthy guy. I'm a ninja.
Right, right.
And also because the color I wanted wasn't in stock. But that's another thing. We don't talk about that. Paul's like, shut up. Right, shut up. Anyway, the Stealth Black is really nice. So there's like a loop basically on the back of your case. You can just put your one finger. I use my middle finger, but don't judge.
Right.
And then you can just kind of like hold your phone. So I was in New York this past weekend. I had my phone in my hand because I had to go and swipe my phone for my tickets. And I had to use my phone so I could buy tickets for my train rides. Right. I need my phone to navigate to figure out where my friend was living in Queens. And if you know anything about Queens, there's like 66th Avenue, 66th Street, and 66th Boulevard. And so you really need to keep your eyes peeled on your phone while you're looking at the maps. And so being able to have this thing in my hand and doing all this crazy stuff, getting on a subway and everything, and not worrying about dropping my phone. Gosh, man, I didn't think I needed one until I needed one.
It's great. It really is great. And they even create something called the Super Loop. It's very easy to... it's very easy for the loops. I guess I want to say the original loops used to come out of the case. But then they came out with something called the Super Loop, which is more fitting my thing because it's bigger. It's more for bigger fingers and bigger hands. But it works perfectly with the purpose of the phone. I got the cow print. There's a bunch of different prints that you can get that are feminine and masculine and everything in between. And if you type in the coupon code DadsGameReview, you'll get 10% off your first case. That is what we think of the Loopy. Do you have anything else?
Oh, yeah. And you know, they just announced the new iPhone 15. Loopy's got cases for that.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever iPhone 15 you get, you want to spend $1,200 on a new iPhone? No judgment here. They got a Loopy for you.
I love the one thing I do love about it is that when your hands are full, you only need one finger to reach out and grab the Loop, and now you're carrying your phone too. So try out a Loopy. Dad's Game Review is the coupon code, and stop the drop.
Indeed. I don't know if you heard my dog, but that was an enthusiastic barking encouragement. He's like, arf, 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 arf. You know, it's funny. My one more thing about the Loopy. My friend, my daughter's friend, she actually just dropped the phone on her face too. And
oh, really?
It's not good. You get that bruise and everything. And yeah, one Loop can make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize how useful it was until I started using it. But I tell people, I'm like a walking commercial for them. To be honest with you, that's all I do. Is just I'm like, they're like, is that a Loop on your phone? And I'm like, yes, it is. And I go into like a little sales pitch, but.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that can make you a believer. It's such a simple concept, but it is nice to know, like, I ain't dropping my phone today. It's
right.
Really,
yeah, yeah. I so in news, I don't know if you want to go first or I could go first.
I don't know what your news item is, Paul. So yeah, surprise me.
So, back in 1983. Atari had a game called Haunted House, which was very basic, very, very basic and very, you know, 2600-y, you know, it looked like every other game on the 2600. And they're making a remake of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's coming soon. I think it's coming next month. They didn't really give a release date, or at least I don't think that they did, but it's coming to Steam, Switch, Xbox, PlayStation. Now, they say Atari, but I'm assuming they mean the VCS. I mean, that's what I'm assuming.
Like the new one.
Yeah. But the screenshots are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how when people go, oh, yeah, they remade this, and they remade it. It's as if they remade it what I was thinking in my mind, you know? And
oh,
they
gosh.
Just go on and on about it. I can't, you know, I've never really thought about it, probably since 1983. Mm-hmm. So I can't say they created it or what was thinking in my mind, but it's very detailed, and it's very precise, and it's what I would see the future of it looking like in my mind, type of thing.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Maybe. Yeah. They're saying it's like a roguelike, this new one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's, so basically the original one is just you walking through various rooms, you know, with pixel, not even pixelated, just walking through rooms of blocks, you know, and then navigating your way around. Almost, you know, just... You can't even describe Atari 2600, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it looks cute, honestly. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Luigi's Mansion. In a
right,
way.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just kind of like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. This is a very cool reimagination of the game. And to be honest with you, I can't wait, because October's coming, and we need something other than Little Nightmares.
Oh, that's true.
For October.
Yeah. It's that, or we play Beyond the Forbidden Forest from basically the 80s.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just
that useless, whatever.
That wonderful game.
right. That wonderful game. Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you about something that's even more haunted than Haunted House.
All right.
It's this news with Unity. Oh, my gosh. So over
Unity,
the last week or so,
the platform,
Unity, which is the gaming engine that's used on a whole bunch of mobile stuff.
Right.
And the whole deal with Unity is that it's supposed to be an engine that is very flexible. It can basically, you build it, you know, on one platform, it can be distributed across all these other platforms.
Right.
So it's really, really easy. They're now charging additional fees based on how many people have installed your game.
Wow.
And how many people who have basically spent money on your game. So
they're double dipping is what you're saying.
I mean, it's honestly triple dipping. It's it's like not only am I dipping the chip into the ranch dressing, eating it, I'm dipping it again, and then I'm putting my fingers in it.
Dipping it because the chip is too small and your fingers are touching the dip.
It's a total like it's really ballsy what they're doing. And
it's funny because that reminds me of the company that makes the chip for the iPhone, Qualcomm.
Right? Yep.
This is the biggest fight that Steve Jobs has had with them since the beginning of the iPhone, which is there's a fee for using our chip, mm-hmm. and then there's a fee for having the chip in your phone.
Great.
And it would drive Steve Jobs, I'm assuming Tim Cook, mm-hmm. insane. Like, mm-hmm. just... And rightly so, I would imagine, because and that's why Apple tried to make their own chip, and they were like, "Hey, this is really hard."
Yeah, making chips isn't easy. But I mean, these pricing models are. I think it's kind of like having the rug pulled out on under you.
Yeah,
because developers have to pay a couple of $1,000s a year at least to even get Unity. If you're a professional like high end developer,
right?
If you're just like a casual developer, you can get Unity for free, and Unreal is kind of like that too. But like once you get to like some stage, yeah, I mean these companies are making money off of the engine, but now Unity is asking for so much because a lot of Unity games are on mobile, and so it's all about getting a cut of sort of those microtransactions.
Right. It reminds me of the reason I brought up Apple with the Qualcomm was because this originally started as a game engine specifically for the Mac, and it just expanded crazily.
Yeah,
into that.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the hands. It back where we're from, where you know one of the counties in Long Island is called Brookhaven, but if you live in that county, which I did, it was often referred to as Crookhaven because of the way that everybody had to get paid. Like, that's what this reminds me of. Like, everybody has their hand out. Like, they couldn't put fiber optics in Brookhaven Township, you know, because Cablevision owned the world. And they just, you know, and they were just like, well, you know, you're going to have to pay an extra licensing fee or this to have fiber optics come through. You know, so everybody's got their hand out. You know, they figure out ways to raise the bottom line just a little bit more.
And that's where all this is coming from. But it's had a disastrous response from game developers.
Oh,
I bet. Like, I mean, my favorite game that I play that I always talk about, Genshin Impact, that's built on Unity.
Oh, really?
And Genshin Impact makes bazillions of dollars a month on their microtransactions. Like, it's an extremely profitable game. And so with these Unity rules in place, it would like slice deep into their profits.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I can't imagine since, you know, what was it? Since HTML5, which basically mm-hmm. does everything now.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that, you know, like you got to imagine that other technologies are slicing into other technologies.
Oh, and yeah.
It's just a game of how do we stay relevant and alive, you know?
So, like, there's still other game engine systems. There's Game Maker, which is sort of like the more of the amateur sort of tooling kind of game engine. But they also have a pricing model for when you distribute your game like on different devices and stuff. But it's usually like a one-time fee, and it's like you pay X amount of money and then you can get it distributed on iPhone or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And Unreal has certain rules too about how you're selling it and using the engine.
Hmm.
But this model is basically the other thing they do is they charge you per number of installations. So even if there is no microtransactions on the game and the game is free,
right?
So if the uncle who works at Nintendo was an app, it was built in Unity, and it had 200,000 installations, okay. they would have to pay like $100,000 or more dollars to Unity for their free game.
Wow,
it's like what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a little, I don't know.
Oh, you know what? I take that back. They have to have a certain number of installs and a certain number of revenue. to meet the
qual,
threshold.
Yeah.
So scratch what I just said. But
you
the
must
other
prove
problem
yourself.
But the other problem with that is how do you even track installations? So like you install a game on your phone, and so that shows up in the Apple Store. But like, you know, what if you install the same game on your iPad, but it's like the same license, it's the same user? Does that count as two installs, or does that count as one? You know,
I think Microsoft has had this problem since Windows 95.
Yeah, I've got Elden Ring installed on my Windows computer and on my Steam Deck.
Right.
Same license, but on two different devices.
I think that there's no way to control that. I think that's why, a lot of streaming forces, a lot of streaming platforms like Netflix and Adult Swim, and I think that's why they go up to five TVs.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't. They can't. There's no way they can monitor how many people. They can monitor how many people logged in from the same IP address, but. You know, they just, whatever, you know?
Yeah. And if you travel a lot and it picks up a different IP, you know, all those kind of things can happen. So in the last couple of weeks, Unity has been like actively backpedaling.
Right.
And so it's still actually unclear what is actually going to happen. These new fees were going to take effect in January of 2024.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But like it also affects Apple Vision Pro, Apple's new like VR thing.
Oh.
All their stuff was built on Unity.
The new the new toy that nobody's gonna really own. But according to my daughter's boyfriend, who's an exec at Apple, he says the way he describes it to me as it's the most amazing experience ever. You're gonna blow your mind. I was like, no, it's not, because I'm not gonna own it. I was like, it's $4,000, and I just don't see myself dropping that, because I don't work in the field anymore. So I'm going to have to take your word for it. Almost like when you're on a diet and the person next to you is eating like a real huge hot dog, like with everything on it. And they go, what do you want? And you're like, nothing. I'll just smell theirs. You know?
Yeah. just new electronic smell. Don't knock it.
Yeah,
you know, just getting a whiff nearby.
Seriously.
Yeah, I've heard good things about the Apple Vision Pro as well. It will be interesting to see how Unity and all of their stuff fares. But, I mean, there's been stories about people, like, spite installing games that the game company has to pay the Unity fee, which is funny. But
nerds
whatever.
Attack.
Yeah. So that was my news item. I wanted to talk about it last week. What's interesting is it's still in the news after 2 weeks.
Wow.
And there's definitely a lot of Unity against Unity. No one's really happy with it.
Yeah. So, that's interesting that it still holds value, because it's funny, because a lot of these noises just kind of, that's what they are. They're just noises, and then they just die out as quick as you read them on the internet. So
yeah.
So I guess that's it. I want to say what we're playing next week, but I forgot to tell you.
Well, no, we already know what we're playing next week, Paul.
Oh, all right. Then
the thing you're talking about is the thing we're going to play the week after.
Oh.
Because this next week we're playing. We're playing Red Dead Redemption 2, because it's on sale.
Oh, that's right. That's That's right.
It finally went on sale, so I grabbed it.
I'm hoping to have a special guest.
There's
a guy on Twitter that I talked to. He goes by the handle Rad Dad Redemption, and he talks obsessively about this game and how great it is, and I have to concur. It is a great game.
Hopefully he'll be able to join us
next week sometime, but if our schedules don't line up, you're going to have to just put up with John and Paul again.
Paul, wouldn't it be funny if I was just like in the snow level from Red Dead, and I was like, yeah, I guess that's cool and all, but I feel like, you know, there's just like that thing where you get chased by wolves and that's it. Not
yeah,
much
you know.
To do.
Like, I have to do the snow level all over again.
Yes. We'll talk about that next week as well. That is a very funny little bit.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. If you need to say anything to us, you can reach out on Twitter and just shout out to @DadsGameReview. And John, where can they reach you?
I'm John Everson D20 on the platform known as Twitter. And I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I forgot. Dead naming it? Am I being bad?
Nice. Everybody still says Twitter.
I don't like to refer to it by X because it looks like that's the button I press to close the app.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm John Everson D20. I'm usually just retweeting what Paul says, and every now and then I post. So yeah. Usually just to make fun of Paul.
So if you, yeah, pretty much. So if you just, if you have something to say, you can tell us and we'll tell you our opinion. We'll probably agree. So, but that's it until next week. John, you have a great week and I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Take care, everybody.
All right.